This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Coal is on a decline in central Appalachia. Even though coal mining jobs are disappearing, the imprint of coal on the landscape is everywhere. More than 1 million acres of strip-lined land, an area the size of Rhode Island, are now deforested. As part of a reporting project from the Allegheny Front on the future of coal, Reed Frazier went to eastern Kentucky to see what will happen to the land once coal is gone.
Patrick Angel is a forester with the U.S. Office of Surface Mining. He's at the top of a ridge in eastern Kentucky looking over a sea of brown grass.
You can see it goes on and on and on for many, many acres.
This flattened hilltop is what's left over from mountaintop removal. This is the controversial form of surface mining where the top of a mountain is blown up and shoved into a valley to access a coal seam below. Many hills in eastern Kentucky now look exactly like this one.
Looking across this landscape, you know, if you didn't know where you were, you'd think that you were standing in, a prairie land in South Dakota, right, or Wyoming, and because it's all grass.
The grasses growing on this ridge have roots so thick they choke out other plants, including trees. So the native forests of eastern Kentucky cannot grow back here.
Basically, Mother Nature is stuck in a place where she cannot return the forests on her own.
This situation is the result of a law that passed nearly 40 years ago to improve former mine lands. The Surface Mine Control and Reclamation Act was passed in 1977 to protect coal country communities. Back then, it was fairly common for landslides to start at abandoned coal mines and just keep going into people's houses
as the occupants were running out the front door. We wanted to stop that so bad.
And they did stop it. How? With bulldozers and grass seed.
The way we accomplished it was by telling mine operators to pack it in, compact it, get it tight, and sculpture it like a golf course.
So this is what Angel and his agency did for 20 years or so. It did stop the landslides, but there was a problem that nagged Angel. The trees wouldn't grow back.
And then the scientists came to us.
These scientists were studying how to put forests back on former surface mines, and they'd figured out a way to do it. Angel takes me to a field that looks like it's been dug up by a giant rototiller. His partner, Mike French, of the nonprofit Green Forests Work, cuts into dirt and rock with a digging bar. Their group is planting trees here now.
It would take Mother Nature on her own to reforest these sites decades, if not centuries.
It costs about $1,000 an acre to reforest these sites, but doing nothing comes with its own costs, too. New forests can clean up one of coal's worst environmental legacies, polluted streams. Chris Barton is standing over one of them. Barton studies coal mining's impact on water quality at the University of Kentucky.
What you see, what we have here is, this was the original stream channel, and you can see the big, large boulders there.
The boulders he's pointing to came from a mountaintop removal site above the valley we're standing in. They were part of the rock, soil, and gravel covering over a coal seam and were pushed over the hillside to get at the coal beneath them.
On this particular one, there's about 200 feet of material on top of what was the original stream bed.
That material has turned the stream a bright reddish orange. That color is from iron that was once lodged inside the mountain.
But when you mine them, you're taking a rock like the one we see over here and blasting that into a zillion pieces, and then suddenly it becomes at a size where it can dissolve.
Barton thinks if trees were to grow on top, that would prevent a lot of the runoff that's causing this pollution. And there are signs this can happen.
Okay, then. Well, we'll be in these two cells here for
Paul Rothman is with the Kentucky's Department of Natural Resources. On a vast surface mine in eastern Kentucky, he walks through a gate where a small but healthy forest is taking root.
And what you see is there are seven different species that I'll introduce you to out here. You got white ash, white oak, yellow poplar,
Rothman
poplar,
helped plant these trees palm, almost 20 years ago. Today, windblown orchids, sweetbriars, and birches are sprouting from the forest floor.
The stereotype or the thought is that once these areas are mined and reclaimed, you can never grow forests back on them. And what we're trying to do is show people that's not quite accurate.
Up a tiny meandering mountain road in Letcher County, Kentucky, a coal company is finishing up a strip mining job. Huge machines move dirt and rock around a large open pit. Just down the hill from the mine are John and Loretta Henriksen. Loretta Henriksen grew up on this mountain. She's never liked strip mining.
But, you know, I'm supporting the miners and I'm supporting jobs, but, you know, I just don't like the way it looks. And I think I have a right to that opinion. You know, I think it's ugly, but I have to live with it.
She used to argue about it with her brother, who's a coal miner. But then came one conversation.
He said to me, he said, "You don't know what it's like." He said, "You got a husband that's got a good job and can feed you." And he said, "We don't. You know, if our job is over, what do we do?"
Her husband, John, was a school teacher. He had a secure job with benefits. Her brother didn't have that.
And he said, if you had to rely on a miner to make a living, you know, if your husband was a miner and he lost his job and you had no way to pay your bills or to eat, he said, I believe you'd change your mind on how you feel about strip mining. I mean, we used to argue, get in hot discussions about it. So then finally I realized when he said that, it just like pricked my heart. So I said, I'm not going to talk about being against strip mine ever again.
At some point, maybe soon, the mine at the top of the hill will go quiet. But even if no coal ever comes off that mountain again, it'll bear the mark of mining for years to come. Loretta Henriksen has come to accept it. And when asked, had she ever thought of moving, she says she would never want to leave the place she's from. In Eastern Kentucky, I'm Reed Frazier for the Allegheny Front.
And you can find more stories from the Allegheny Front at alleghenyfront.org. This is West Virginia Morning at 7:51. Flood watches are in effect from counties along the Ohio River through central West Virginia today. Rain and thunderstorms in the forecast. Temperatures in the 60s. Rain and thunderstorms and winds continue tonight. Breezy and cooler with rain tapering off tomorrow by noon, becoming partly cloudy Saturday afternoon with temperatures in the mid-40s to the mid-50s.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by Appalachian Power, providing electricity to 500,000 customers across West Virginia on the web at appalachianpower.com.
Ray Wiley Hubbard grew up in the same Texas town as Mountain Stage host Larry Gross, and the two have remained friends for 50 years. At Gross's request, here is Ray Wiley Hubbard with Snake Farm on this Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
She kind of looks like Tempest Storming. She can dance like Little Egypt. She works down the Snake Farm. Snake Farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake Farm, it pretty much is Snake Farm. It's a reptile house, Snake Farm. She got a keen sense of humor. She got a tattoo down her arm. It's of a python eating a little mouse, wearing a sailor hat that says Snake Farm. Snake Farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake Farm, it pretty much is Snake Farm. It's a reptile house, Snake Farm. Ramona, how come she works there? She says, well, it's got its charm. There's nothing to do in the winter now that some kid gets bit at the Snake Farm. I said, Snake Farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake Farm, it pretty much is Snake Farm. It's a reptile house, Snake Farm. Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention something. This is a sing-along. Really? Here goes Snake Farm. It just sounds nasty. Snake Farm, it pretty much is Snake Farm. It's a reptile house, Snake Farm. Ain't exactly kumbaya. The best I got. Hear me now, everybody, hear me now. I said Snake Farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake Farm, it pretty much is Snake Farm. It's a reptile house, Snake Farm. Ramona likes malt liquor and a band from Wales that was called The Alarm. She said she cried when they broke up. She still plays the records at the Snake Farm. Snake Farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake Farm, it pretty much is Snake Farm. It's a reptile house, Snake Farm. Sometimes Ramona calls me up. She says, come on down here, it's getting warm. And she runs everybody off, and we, you know, Snake Farm. Snake Farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake Farm, it pretty much is Snake Farm. It's a reptile house, Snake Farm. Ooh, hear me singing. I said Snake Farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake Farm, it pretty much is Snake Farm. It's a reptile house, Snake Farm. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Ooh, Ray Wiley Hubbard with Snake Farm. You can hear this song again and more music Saturday night at Aton Mountain Stage right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is produced with the assistance of Suzanne Higgins, Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Glennis Bohr, Dave Mistich, Roxy Todd, Liz McCormick, and Jesse Wright. Our theme music is by Matt Jackford. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our director is Chuck Anzalevich. I'm Beth Voorhees.